This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Happy Monday, Bart Scott.
Happy, happy Monday. I hope you got some sleep. I was finally able to get some sleep after doing the draft for like 25 hours straight. It was like, yo, we got up and we supposed to do get up the next day. It was like, yeah, we're not even going to call it get up. We're calling it stay up because we've been up. And who the hell you do? To get up, you got to be asleep. We never got up.
It wasn't get up, it's been up.
Yeah, exactly. So right. I'm glad, you know, listen, it was a great weekend. I mean, I think the NFL put on a tremendous show as they always do. But I think it was a little bit better just because you had fans in attendance. We didn't have Roger Goodell sitting in his comfy couch, look like he was playing Atari or something going on. So I think that the draft did a great job. And I want to give kudos to a lot of teams. A lot of teams address needs. And I think it's exciting. You know, you got a lot of young rookies coming in. And I think a lot of them are going to have early impact.
Yeah, and you have five quarterbacks taken in the first round. So there's a big story, obviously, involving quarterbacks. And we'll break down, you know, the grades, what we give, and certain teams, how they did in this draft, and also talk more about the quarterbacks that are now going to be coming into this league and who's going to save their franchise as we go forward. There's a lot more to get to, but overshadowing the whole weekend, Bart.
Yes.
And even continuing even today is still a quarterback story, but a big one, the MVP of the league, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's really the bombshell right before the draft. Were you guys on the air at that point when Shefty dropped that? That report about how
it happens.
Rodgers doesn't want to return to Green Bay.
It happened before, and listen, I know Shefty's going to say, and he addressed it with Ryan Clark that hey, nobody leaked the story. That it's just not. I just found it ironic that it happened right before the draft started because I feel like you know that gave Aaron Rodgers the best opportunity to get a deal done. But if this relationship is unrepairable. You look at, you know, the team, it's crazy, right? Because a blind squirrel gets a nut. Here you have the Jets and the Dolphins that are trying to make a trade for Deshaun Watson. Everybody understands his legal battle that he has going on. We know that deal isn't going to happen. Then we had Russell Wilson, who was unhappy. Then Russell Wilson, you know, it seems like that relationship has been mended. So those two teams moved forward. Here we are, when I talk about a blind squirrel gets a nut, you have Denver, who cannot draft a quarterback to save their lives. All the success that John Elway has had has been with somebody else's finished product. They have the ammunition. They are on the desired list. Remember we came out and I don't understand. What is it about Oakland that makes this – well, Oakland, what is this about the Raiders that make them such a desirable place? Because not have they been on one franchise quarterback's list. They've probably been on two, maybe even three. When you think about, you know, Aaron Rodgers having the Raiders on his list – and also the Denver Broncos on the list, but Russell Wilson had the Raiders on their list as well.
Yeah, you tell me. You're the player. I mean, what is it about playing for the Raiders that quarterbacks seem to want to be part of? Is it Gruden?
No, I don't think it's Gruden because, that's going to be a crazy relationship when you think about Gruden and some of the things he said about Derek Carr. But what intrigues me about the Raiders is the fact that the Raiders have something that they can offer back in return. Not just the draft pick compensation going forward, but they have that bridge quarterback that's not that expensive. When you think about Derek Carr and his contract, they can offer Derek Carr, and Derek Carr can continue to play at a high level with those weapons. Now, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he can play at a high enough level where you do not force to play Jordan Love. You can bring Jordan Love along slowly and eventually get out of that contract of Carr, who I believe is annually like $20 million a year. It's a very team-friendly deal. And you can move on from him afterwards because they're going to need a bridge. If they make that trade with Denver, who's playing quarterback?
Well, let's start with this. And by the way, let's peel back the curtain to let everybody know that today you are running the ship. I have handed over the wheel to you today. So you control.
And it looks like you shined up your Emmys in the back too, by the way.
Mission control.
It looked like you shined your Emmys up in the back. I don't remember seeing all four of them so shiny behind you. I feel like I'm looking at a solar eclipse.
Well, with that in mind, though, let's hear from Matt LaFleur, the coach.
I think it's a little much.
How much of a sense did you get that we could get here to this point at the offseason?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. I mean, like, I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do. From the players in that locker room to the coaching staff, and I don't even want to let my mind go there.
All right, BS translator, I'm just turning it on right now.
Yeah.
What is he really saying?
Well, he can't fathom this happening, but in essence, he's part of the responsible party that got us to this point. Because last year, he had an opportunity in the second round to address the wide receiver position. And he decided not to. And he had to be on board. Understand that he was a new coach. New coaches, we see the impact of Robert Saleh. What he's
problem.
Able to do is that, and he fixed the problem from the offensive side of the ball, but you can't tell me that he wasn't the person that he didn't ring the bell to say, hey, we need to get us a quarterback of the future. I want a quarterback that I believe that we can win with going forward. And don't tell me he didn't sign off on, hey, I really like this Jordan Love guy. And, you know, listen, the organization is finally going to have to take responsibility, but not what they did. Right, because Aaron Rodgers understand that. And, you know, when I was on the show with Elle last week, she said something that she said women say all the time. How you get them is how you lose them. And how Aaron Rodgers got his job is because of a disgruntled franchise Hall of Fame quarterback that lost his job because they decided to go with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers showed that he was ready to take the baton. Now, it's not a problem that that's what they did. It's how aggressive they were in moving up and trading up four spots and giving up future draft compensation to get them. So that's saying that you're trying to progress it. It's not like Jordan Love fell to them. They went up and got him. And before they went up and got him, they didn't have a conversation with the CEO of their organization. And Aaron Rodgers, I believe, was motivated not to get back to the Super Bowl last year, but to rub it in the faces of Green Bay to say, hey, I'm still playing at a high level. I'm still the best quarterback. You guys made that decision to move on for me too early. So guess what? I'm going to have this great season. I'm not going to say anything publicly, but behind the scenes, we've heard that they've had multiple conversations, that they've had, you know, three or four trips have been taken out to see Aaron Rodgers, and he hasn't budged. Listen, understand that he's a guy that doesn't have to play football. He's a guy that's made a lot of money. He's a guy that can go host Jeopardy for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that we understand holds grudges. We've heard the reports that he's cut certain family members off. What the hell you think he going to do to you? You hurt his feelings. His feelings are hurt. And he's a man of principle. And the fact that it's reports that they try to just give him a raise. No. It's not about money. It's about security.
We thought it was about money, but it's not. It's got to be more. And now it's he and the GM, Brian Gutekunst, who really seem to be locking horns right now on this whole thing. But look, and it's generally with the star, it's like we'll take the star side. Well, you know, I mean, the Packers, you could argue, yeah, okay, they went and got Jordan Love. But, I mean, they still – it's a good roster. They did get to an NFC Championship game. It's not like – you know, it's not like what the Jets did to Sam Darnold here, okay? Like, it's a little different.
I understand.
That is a good roster. So there is another –
He's not complaining about the roster, Adam.
Well, no, but he's complaining about something, right? But he hasn't been happy in years, let's be honest. He's never really been happy. And yet he's also careful not to offend the fan base there in Green Bay. He didn't want to talk when he was at the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Did say he was disappointed that news got out, which is odd because it certainly came from his side of things.
It's no benefit for the team to release that they've been going out to Aaron Rodgers and begging him to come back.
It's embarrassing to put something like that out. So we'll talk to Adam Schefter here in just a couple minutes, but also let's let everybody hear from a Hall of Famer in Warren Moon about Aaron Rodgers, and maybe this take that not enough people have brought up yet, but I kind of feel is going to start coming out. Take a listen to this.
I think it's a little much. I really think that they're just being a little bit too greedy now. I think a little bit too sensitive. If all these things bothered him about what happened with Jordan Love and all those things from last year, that stuff should have been voiced last year and taken care of last year, but sounds like it hasn't. And I just kind of question the timing of when all that came out on draft day, one of the biggest days of the year for all these young guys, and all of a sudden he wants to take the thunder away from them a little bit. The whole thing just seems kind of contrived to me, and all they're doing is looking to the future again. At some point, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be Aaron Rodgers, and they want to have somebody ready to go. I don't know why he can't understand that.
That's the voice of Warren Moon, Hall of Famer, about that, saying Aaron Rodgers is being too sensitive here with the way he's handling this. And, you know, this is, again, the era, Bart, of player empowerment.
Right.
And I just feel like that's what Rodgers is trying to do here. He wants to have a little more say and some influence. Or is that just a way that he just wants to get out of Green Bay? Like, it's got to be one or the other. Either I'm not involved enough and I don't like it, or I really just don't want to be here anymore, so I want to move on, but I have a contract that's not allowing me to get out of here.
I mean, we hear the reports that maybe he's, I believe, engaged to an actress, right? And you know,
yes.
We know that Green Bay isn't good for business, let's say shooting Children of the Corn Part 3. You know what I mean? I don't know if that'd be the site of a major movie. But you know, when you listen to Warren Moon, you have to understand and take it with a grain of salt. Listen, all his words are correct. And, you know, Warren Moon's a great guy. You talk about his journey, his path to the Hall of Fame was a little bit different than Aaron Rodgers. It's a little different environment now. And right now, I don't think it was about money. And he understands that they want to move ahead in the future. But what he's saying is, you're not going to dictate to me when that time is, because what he's saying is, I just won MVP, and he had to win MVP before he can speak up and make his point. You're saying that you brought this guy in because you have to plan for the future.
Right.
When is the future?
Well,
right?
That might be right now, and the future for us right now is Adam Schefter, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Schefter, thanks for joining us. I guess the question that we've been talking about a lot today, and we've heard different accounts of this, so I'd love to get yours because you're the one doing, you know, the bulk of the reporting on this, is Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't want to return to Green Bay, which is the reporting right now, is he willing to, from what you know, to, if it takes, you know, Carson Palmer sitting out maybe even a whole season to get that done?
That's the whole question. How far is he willing to go to push this? And you could have said the same thing about Deshaun Watson before he ran into the legal issues that he now is dealing with, and whether he would show up back in Houston. And that now has basically transferred over to Aaron Rodgers. And I've always felt like if he is as unhappy as I believe him to be, he can simply tell them, guys, I'm not coming back. I'm retiring. Trade me. I'm not playing again for your team. Trade me, but you will not see me again. Now, it becomes a game of chicken at that point. And I believe that Aaron Rodgers has got the leverage. Yeah, he's supposed to make $32 million. Nobody ever wants to say goodbye to $32 million. But he's going to make the money back. And so if he is prepared to sit, I believe he will get what he wants. If he's not, he'll be playing there in Green Bay. But it doesn't solve the issue. The issue is there's a rift between the two sides. That's not going to go away. And so the question is, what does he do? Look, you heard over the weekend from the team president, Mark Murphy, in a newsletter update, the head coach, Matt LaFleur, to Brian Gutekunst. They all say, we want him back. We're planning he's going to be back. But what else are they going to say? I mean, they're basically publicly appealing to him after they each have had their chance, in turn, in private, to meet with him this offseason in recent weeks at various locations. Each of them has flown out west and met with him, and nothing has changed his mind so far. So what is going to change his mind? Does he say, you know what, I love football and I love my teammates too much to turn my back on them, I'm going to go play this 1 year and then one out? Or does he feel a certain way where he's just going to say, I'm not going in. I'm not showing up. I'm going the Carson Palmer out, and you deal with it, and you handle it how you want. And I can't answer that. Because, by the way, what he feels today might also be different than the way he feels on August 3rd, too. But today, I don't believe that he's planning to be back. Now we'll see if that changes.
Now, Adam, you know, first of all, great reporting from you. It was a tremendous story. Like you said, it was the talk of the entire draft period because he's such a tremendous talent. But is it any anything behind the report that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is saying either, you know, Gutekunst leaves, or is either him or me? And because we've seen that scenario between coaches, but we've never seen that between player and general manager.
I don't know. Look, it's out there. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't think he particularly cares for the general manager. I think people know that. I think that there have been issues there. I have no idea if that's an ultimatum, him or me. But I can tell you that there is definitely a school of thought that that's one of the central issues in this particular area. If they got rid of him, would he all of a sudden return? That sounds a little simple to me, to be honest with you. It sounds a little petty to me. So I don't know that that's true, but I do know that there's issues between the two of them. Yes, that I will tell you. That is not a secret.
Yeah, it seems like it should be a lot deeper than that, but there's no doubt that there is an issue there. Adam Schefter joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's call this part Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Schefter, it's because this isn't the first time, even in this offseason, that we've had a star quarterback have a problem with his organization and want to leave. Now, before all of the civil issues that are going on right now with Deshaun Watson, he was in the same place, you know, just not happy, wants out. And
yeah,
the Texans said, "We're not moving you. You're under contract. We're not doing anything." I mean, couldn't the Packers just kind of do the similar thing?
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing right now. Basically, Mark Murphy's comments over the weekend were such that we're not talking about this. We're planning for him to be here. We want to go in more Super Bowls together. We're not dealing with this. And so, like, what's going to change between now and, let's just say, August 1, right? So, that's the ironic part about the Deshaun Watson situation, because that situation has changed so much to where, if we go back to the beginning of the offseason, he wasn't going there, and now there's just a question of, well, where, if anywhere, is he going, and what's going to happen there, and is he going to be allowed to play, and how is this case going to proceed? These cases are going to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so people forget, with 22 civil lawsuits alleging sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior, that Deshaun Watson made it perfectly clear to Houston after the season that I'm not coming back there. Right. So that still is there, I would think. And I don't think it was accidental that the Houston Texans used their very first pick in the draft on a quarterback. Like, here's a team with a lot of needs,
right,
a lot of holes, and they went quarterback. I think there was a lot of meaning in that.
Right. Well,
Aaron, I think they know.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers situation.
Aaron Rodgers' situation seems to be totally different, right? Because they've already drafted his replacement, and you know, Aaron Rodgers is the present, not the future. So kind of pushing it forward, you know, we heard two teams maybe, you know, we had Mark Slareff tweeting that, hey, it was a done deal to Denver. You know, we know that maybe, you know, the Raiders may be on his list. You know, assuming that eventually Aaron Rodgers is going to get his way, if not this year, definitely next year, because it's already a natural out in the contract. Right. So what team is the best place for him to go, and what kind of bidding war could this be? Because if you don't get Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have to go against him within the division. You already have Mahomes in that division. So if you're Denver, if you don't get him, you're going to have to face him twice.
Yeah. Essentially, look, let me be very clear. The Packers have been very clear that they say they're not going to trade him. And that's where they are today. Now, whether that's where they will be August 3rd or September 3rd or December 3rd, we'll see. But if we're going to play the hypothetical game and get into that, and the Packers' stance changes dramatically, I would say there's no way they're going to trade him in conference. I just don't see that happening. They're not going to say, here you go, San Francisco or Philadelphia, or any team that has a quarterback question, Carolina. I just don't think they're trading him in conference. They trade him at a conference. So just go through and look at the AC, and you tell me who's got quarterback questions. Who would be open to doing that? I mean, there's not that many teams in the AFC that have quarterback questions, right? How many teams have an undecided? And by the way, I would venture to say, as I would have said when Tom Brady was a free agent, which you look back now and you laugh at it, when Tom Brady is a free agent, 31 teams should be calling. Well, not 31, but 27 teams should be calling and saying, we want you, no matter what. And that didn't happen. There were like two teams, the Buccaneers and Chargers, mm-hmm. and that was it. And so if Aaron Rodgers were made available in a trade, and there are 16 teams in the AFC, to me, 10 of them, 10 of them should be calling and saying, what's it going to take? Do I think it'll be 10? No, I don't. I don't. I think there's only a select few.
But still, whenever it does happen, I mean, this is such a huge story hanging over the league, and it will obviously throughout this offseason, and every piece of it is certainly going to be something that everybody is going to want to consume, and obviously you'll be the guy, Shefty, you always have been. Thanks so much for joining us here with the insight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and have a great week. Thank you for the kind words.
All right, all the best. Adam Schefter joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise, and yes, that was Straight Talk. Because that's really what it's about, Bart.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like it is, this is the story now.
Yeah, we have,
this is the story for the NFL. Everything else that happens will pale in comparison. You could tell me that Bill Belichick next week, you know, after when did they start like those, when the rookies come in and work out, right?
Yeah, rookie mini champs.
Yeah, when after that, he turns around and goes to the media, you know what? Mac Jones looks like he's going to be our starter. That's not a bigger story.
Whatever.
Right, you just got Cam Newton. Like, that's not a bigger story. Like, there is not a bigger story in the league than Aaron Rodgers and what's going to happen week one. Where will he be? Will he be, you know, relaxing somewhere and not in Green Bay, or will he be under center and, you know, basically saying all is well? Like, that is a story. That's a stare down that is going to really have such an impact, especially in the NFC.
He has all the power, though. He has all the power.
How does he have all the power when he's under contract?
Because it's a natural out in his contract next year. And if he's not playing, then now you got to force Jordan Love there. So if Jordan Love plays for an entire year, what are you going to do? Let Aaron Rodgers come back the next year? No, because you see what I'm saying? It's just like Lewis Riddick. When somebody don't want to be there, they don't have to
be
there.
I'm with you. I've never – we did this when we talked about Deshaun Watson. When have you ever seen a situation where someone is like, I'm out, I don't want to be here anymore, and then like 2 months later it's like, no, I'm good. I'm happy here now. That never happens.
Right.
Never. Never in sports.
And he has the money. He's a man of principle. He has the money, Alan. We know he has the resources. Hell, he can go do Jeopardy and make $17 million a year.
Well, that's if they want him. But we'll see. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, of course, is the number to join the conversation, at Barton Hunt on Twitter and Instagram as well. So let's go deeper, though, into what actually happened in the draft, not just before the draft and became headlines, because several teams had really good drafts. In fact, two of them or in the biggest market in New York. And Mel Kiper Jr. gave some pretty good grades going around. In fact, he changed one, Bart. He actually changed a grade the better. For which team did he do that? Find out coming up next. But first, Bart has this from, you ready?
Hello, Fresh. I bet we all miss a true, real break. Not just an endless downtime. I mean, a break that feels earned. A shortcut that can give yourself that makes your life truly easier without sacrificing the end result. And that's how you'll feel with HelloFresh. HelloFresh lets you skip the grocery lines, the crowds, the traffic, the hassle without sacrificing delicious meals. With more than 25 chef-created recipes to pick from each week, you'll never run out of meals. Go to HelloFresh.com/BART12 and use promo code BART12 to get 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's code BART12 at HelloFresh.com/BART12. Bring it on.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
With the first pick in the 2021 NFL Draft,
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
How do you describe this moment with all your friends and family?
Well, I didn't even dream this as a kid, so really special.
With the second pick, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson.
Zach, when did you know for sure that you were a New York Jet?
I wouldn't believe it till the day it happened, but this is exactly what I was hoping for.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online and get a custom quote and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Bart, do we have any calls yet?
Absolutely. Let's go to...
We don't have to. I just wanted to know if we
Okay, yeah. You're about to say, we got a couple. We got a couple up in the rain. You know what I'm saying? We can go to a couple.
Because we're going
to
get to those in a moment. But first, let's discuss... Mel Kiper graded everyone's draft.
Yeah.
So he gave out, which I found very interesting, three A's.
Three.
Now, you've covered the draft.
Great and hard.
Give me two teams that you feel like, well, actually, give me three that you feel like would deserve an A grade, and I'll tell you if you're correct.
I tell you what, I like what Miami did. I do.
That is one.
I like what Miami did.
Mm-hmm. He loved what they did. They got an A.
Now, you just never know, man. Whenever you take a flyer on a kid with three concussions and retire medically from college, you know, after getting hit by a car, you have pause for concern.
Is that Jalen Phillips?
Yes. You have a little pause for concern, but he was the number one pass rusher. They lost got rid of Van Noy. It didn't work out. Then I would probably
say. Don't forget, they got Jalen Waddle for Tua.
Right.
At the sixth pick.
And it was weird, man, because everybody was linking back with their college buddies, right? And we don't know how that's going to work out, whether you want to talk about Burrow or you want to talk about Devontae Smith. But I would definitely go with the Eagles, too. The Eagles, I think, you know, slid up and down the board correctly and did their thing. They addressed some glaring needs.
The Eagles did not get an A grade.
Hmm.
All right, the Chargers are the other team that got an A grade.
Ah, so the teams that waited for the player to fall to you.
Rashawn Slater for Justin Herbert. I mean, that's a need, no doubt about it. Asante Samuel Jr., the corner in the second round, a really nice pick is certainly for them as well. Then there was an A-, and that was the Jets.
Hmm. See, I would have went Giants. I think the Giants are
just... And we'll get to that in a moment because the Giants got a B+. However, there's a caveat to that. First, on the Jets getting an A-, so Mel Kiper was on with us this morning on KJZ, and you know I had to ask him, Bart. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to ask
him. You just couldn't wait. You just had
Why did you give him an A-, you know, maybe an A+, an A or an A+. Listen to his response to why he gave the Jets an A-.
I think the A- could have been an A+. I just would have gone the Sam Darnold route. They didn't, and I'm a big Sam supporter here, like Zach Wilson. So, and then what they did is, it's the one great thing that you look at, and it's a lot of great things Joe Douglas, GM, did. But he said, hey, I'm going to make all this about making Zach Wilson great. The whole draft was about that. What's a fourth-round pick? Michael Carter, great choice, running back out of North Carolina. It's an incredible spot to take a running back, not in the first, but in the fourth. He's a heck of a football player. Point of emphasis, make Zach great. That's what a GM needs to do. They did it. That's why the Jets, really an A. I just put the A- because I would have stuck with Sam. They didn't. But, hey, I have no issue with Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson is going to have every opportunity to have success. There won't be any excuses. The organization didn't do enough to help the quarterback. This GM and this organization is going to do everything in their power to allow Zach Wilson to be as good as he possibly can be.
So an A- because he felt like, Sam, you didn't have to move on from him.
Right.
So
that's personal
reasonable.
Preference.
But he said they could have gotten an A+, though. He liked it that much. The first four picks for the Jets, they start at number two, Zach Wilson, as you know. And then they go first four picks, all offense. Elijah Vera Tucker, the guard. Now you're set on your left side. At least they hope so.
Yes.
With Mekhi Becton and now Vera Tucker from USC, a big guard. Then Elijah Moore, you heard him mention him, the wide receiver. You get him in the second round, early second round. And then Michael Carter, who he mentions also, the running back from North Carolina in the fourth round, which he felt like that's exactly where you get a running back. He felt like that was smart. Then the rest of the draft, six picks in a row, all defense,
right,
including three safeties, including a guy also named Michael Carter. But this one's Michael Carter the second, so then you got two of them on your team. So when you look at just, again, in total for the Jets, you know, you being obviously the former Jet, Joe Douglas, now his second draft. Do you like what you see?
No, of course. And what he's done is really create an environment of competition, right? Because we see all the undrafted free agents that they brought in as far as tackle. Now you got Van Rotten, you got a host of competition. Because if I'm you know, they always wonder why or how athletes look at the draft. You're seeing if they're drafting your replacement. And they brought a lot of competition in, you know, to really shore up the inside of that offensive line. Because remember, Sam Darnold got a lot of pressure up the middle, right? So they're coming to address those, and they're bringing in competition. Cameron Clark, we didn't see you last year. You better be ready to go because we have no problem, you know, getting rid of a 6th-round draft pick. But then when you go to the safety, they got a lot of guys that have a lot of versatility, meaning that they play safety, but they also project as linebacker as well. So we're trying to figure out, you know, how is Saleh going to be able to use some of these pieces. Because when you look at what happened before, this team was built defensively to be a 3-4 team. So to make that subtle adjustment, you got to get guys that – you got to get a wheel linebacker, which normally you didn't have a wheel linebacker. You had two inside linebackers that play over the guard. Now you're going to have three linebackers at the second level. You know, they addressed it with Davis in the offseason. You know, you expect C.J. Mosley to come back. But they got a lot of guys with a lot of you know, versatility is what he did. And I had Carter myself ranked as the third best – running back in the draft because of his ability. He, you know, people want to gush over Williams' kid and talk about his physicality, but Carter is the one who led the team in rushing. You know, he's way explosive. He's a Darren Sproles type, and you already have Tevin Coleman there as well. So you have your big back, your 220-pound back. Now you got your scat back, your home run, your mismatch, because this guy can play receiver as well.
All right, and so let's just now put a bow on it because there could have been a fourth A. In fact, Mel Kiper this morning actually changed his grade on a team that he gave a B+. That would be the other New York team, the New York Giants. Originally, he gave him a B+, but listen to him this morning changing his grade on the fly.
I gave him a B+, and I'm gonna say right now, I was too tough a grader. It's 2:03 in the morning. I'm saying, give him a B+. I looked at that and said, I should get an F for giving them a B+. They deserve an A. Let's amend the Giants up to an A right now. Dave Gettleman did a great job. When you trade down twice and you get Kadarius Toney and then you get Azeez Ojulari and you get a number one pick next year added to what you already have in terms of draft capital and you do well with the rest of the picks, if that's not an A, I don't know what is. I made a big mistake giving him a B+. That should have been an A. Dave Gettleman, great job.
I love Mel's energy on this one, too. Yeah. But, Bart, what do you think, though, of Trader Dave finally doing it, trading down, in fact, doing it twice, getting some assets for next year, but also coming away with some talent? I mean, Toney is a player that people are excited about, what you can add to that offense, you know, doubt. And I believe that you liked Ojulari, right?
Yeah, he was my favorite pass rusher. He's the most twitchy there. But the concerns with me was about maybe his long-term health, as there's been reports that he has a bit of a knee issue. You know, that's why he slipped to the second round, because teams were concerned. And that was the problem with this entire process. It was flawed because teams couldn't get a hold and be able to look at his medicals. So you're looking at medicals from doctors that they've gone to, they got the reports from other doctors, not really your doctor, because of COVID. I think only 6 teams were allowed to be able to do work on certain players. So you had to be really, you know, strategic about who you thought was going to fall to you. Now, Kadarius Toney, listen, I understand this is everything much like the Jets, right? This is everything about making Danny Dimes, you know, have no excuses. So they've gone out. They got him a left tackle last year. Saquon Barkley's coming back. They went out and, you know, signed Kenny Galladay. Then they doubled down and spending the first pick on a guy that's one of the most explosive athletes. I just felt that they could have got, you know, that's this same kind of production. You know, full disclosure, my favorite slot guy in this draft was Rondale Moore. And I believe that, you know, he would have been a value pick because he did opt out last season, where teams could have got that same productivity. Talk about a guy that had 1,200 yards receiving at one point at Purdue. Guy ran a 4.240. Guy had a 42-inch vertical that runs and reminds me of much like Percy Harvin. But listen, they went out and they got a sure enough talented player. I just didn't know if that was like being a little gluttonous for them to go get him another guy. Now, let's see where he's going to play, because you got Shepard out there now. You have Galladay. You have Ingram. And you have Darius Slayton, who I believe is a tremendous player. You know, he's one of my favorite players. I think this is a breakout year for them. But you can't deny that they did a great job in getting weapons, and they should be an explosive offense. Much like we talk about Dallas and how explosive we expect their offense to be, man, this offense should be as explosive, and it's going to come down to can Danny Dimes lead this team.
Right, absolutely. So you can see all of the grades for Mel Kiper Jr. on the draft on ESPN.com right now. Coming up, though, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll grab some of your calls and also discuss, if you put together an all-star team of college players, could they beat last year's Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, man.
That's coming up. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed Adam Schefter, and he gave us some detail and some perspective on the Aaron Rodgers situation earlier in the show, you can go ahead and find it on the podcast, Bart and Hahn Podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, just type it in, and we will pop up there for you. We're also brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, Bart, we had this like little debate because we were talking about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you talk about like all these good players. And it's like, you know, and this is one of those evergreen debates that we probably could have talked about during the pandemic. We might have.
Yeah.
And it used to just be like, you know, great college team versus the worst, you know, pro team. But, you know, let's argue that it's true because it's grown men against college players. It's going to be hard for a college team to win.
Right.
But let's do it this way. If you took, like, as we look at the draft and all the talent in this draft, even last year's draft, if you put together, like, an all-star team of college football players and had them play the Jacksonville Jaguars, who couldn't win a damn game last year, right, were just terrible. I said I think you'd get it. I think it'd be competitive.
I think
Keyshawn Johnson said no chance. You play the NFL.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think they would. I think it wouldn't even be close. I don't think it'd be close.
Meaning,
I think that the all-star team would beat a group of non-all-stars. You know what I mean? Like, you talk about, you know, just look at what last year's draft had in it, right? Like, you can argue that to say that you got too many tackles. You got to take one of last year's tackles and make him a guard. That's how good the offensive linemen were last year. Just think, Chase Young would be your defensive end, but you got Isaiah Simmons as your linebacker. Look at what you'll have as far as weapons. I don't know where to go. I mean, do you go with Chase Claypool? Then you go with Jefferson? I mean, where do you stop? Do you go with Ayuk? You're trying to figure out, like, man, I'm sorry, you can't start. You go Michael Pittman Jr.? Like, that's a hard team to stop. And then you go DeAndre Swift, Charles Edwards, Alaire. You go Herbert with his versatility. It's not even close. Like, because we already know for a fact that these guys came in as rookies and dominated. Come on, Key. Get off my lawn, man.
Gardner Minshew, though. I mean, you got to admit, though, what a matchup.
Yeah, I bet you out there.
Look, again, they won their Higgins, first game and they lost out the rest of the season. I just feel like it would just be – look, quickly, back in the day in Chicago at Soldier Field, they used to play a college All-Stars versus NFL, but, you know, obviously things have changed. Let's talk some NBA coming up next, KD versus Giannis.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.